Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and art of great loving kindness unto all that call upon thee. One of the lovely verses in the Bible. And I'd like to speak about what it says, that the Lord is good, and he's ready to forgive, and he's of great loving kindness unto all that call upon him. I'd like to tell you about a few people who called upon the Lord. But first of all, he's good. The Lord is good. Great thing to know that the Lord is good. God is good to people. He's good to the human race. God in his goodness has provided conditions in which the human race can survive. Very delicate balance. People are concerned today about the possibility of ozone layers getting wasted and all that kind of thing. We're aware of the balance there is. And God is, in his goodness, has provided conditions for the human race to continue and to survive. God is good. And in fact, in the preachings and in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find some of the preachers who used the goodness of God, the evidence of the goodness of God, to speak to their audience. Paul and Barnabas spoke about God who gives from heaven rain and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Generally speaking, there's been a good harvest this year. That's the goodness of God in providing food for us day by day. God is good in providing for humanity. All the seasons of the year, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, all that is provided in the goodness of God for humanity. God's also good in another way. He's provided us with a wonderful book. And I've got it in my hands. It's called the Holy Bible. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. God is good in making available the Bible to us. The Bible's still being translated into some of the very obscure dialects of the world, but God is good in providing the scriptures to us. He's providing the scriptures in our own language so that we can read it and read about himself and read about his work in creation and read about his ways with humanity and read about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is good. And not only has he provided conditions for the human race to develop and survive, he has not only provided good words in this book that I've got, but in his goodness, God provided a Savior in Jesus. And Jesus came into this world. He came into this world and was available to all kinds of people as he began his public service. He grew up, as I suppose everybody here knows, in obscurity. He grew up from a babe to a young man, and when he was about 30 years of age, he began his public service. He was sent into the world in his public service by God the Father, he in his own person being God, but he was sent into the world, and it says of him, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went into all quarters doing good. Jesus went into all quarters doing good. He came in contact with a wide spectrum of humanity within the very small area that he ministered within. He came in contact with rich people, with beggars. He came in contact with those that ruled. He came in contact with the teachers of the law. He came in contact with skeptics who had doubts about lots of the scriptures. He came in contact with all kinds of people when he was here, and he did good. He healed those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. The Lord Jesus Christ did good. He went about doing good, healing those oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Wonderful was the service of our Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry in these 3 years when he was here on earth. And above all, he did good by going to the cross. If he hadn't gone to the cross, we would not have got the gain of the goodness of God through the work of Jesus. But Jesus went to the cross. That involved for him suffering. That involved for him death. That involved for him being ill-treated. That involved for him being spat on and being despised. It involved for him being given the mockery of a trial and an unjust verdict upon him. But Jesus went there, and his goodness was seen every step of the way. And when Jesus was on the cross, even there, he demonstrated the goodness of God. There was people there who walked past him, and they were beating on their breasts, and they're wailing. And he says, "Don't weep over me, daughters of Jerusalem. Weep over yourselves." He was interested in people. He was still marked by goodness when he was being ill-treated. It says somewhere that they rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. But Jesus demonstrated goodness every step of the way, even at his time on the cross. And when he was on the cross, so badly treated, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It says here, the Lord is good and ready to forgive. But Jesus demonstrated that he wanted people to be forgiven. Even people that had done the most despicable things against him, he desired their blessing. And when he was on the cross, he laid a basis whereby the worst sinner in the world could be cleared of their sins and redeemed to God by his precious blood. Because him who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was crucified on the cross at Calvary, and his side was pierced, and wherewith he came forth blood and water. Jesus died, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he appeared during 40 days to many who loved him, and then they saw him going to heaven. And he's at the right hand of God now, and God is ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to forgive me. He's ready to forgive anyone who turns to him in repentance and faith. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. That's God's attitude. You remember in the Gospels, there was a man, and Jesus had come down from the mountain, having taught plenty of people up in the mountain about God's laws, about the laws of his kingdom. There was a man who came to him after he came down from the mountain, and he called out to him, and he said to him, "Lord, if you will, you're able to cleanse me." He felt the need of cleansing because he was a leper. He had that dreadful, loathsome disease. He wouldn't have been allowed to go up the mountain. He wouldn't have been allowed to come anywhere near others because he had a contagious disease called leprosy that in those days couldn't be cured. But he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you're able to cleanse me." And I can tell you that Jesus was able to cleanse him. He had the power to do it. He is God, God manifest in flesh, but he was also willing to do it. And he said, stretched out his hand. Jesus stretched out his hand. He cured that man of his leprosy. Jesus was ready, and he was willing to forgive that man. And that illustrates his readiness to forgive. Just as he was ready to cleanse that leper, he's ready to forgive any sinner who turns to him in repentance today and puts their trust in him. So it says, Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and art a great loving kindness unto all that call upon thee. I want to tell you about a few people that called upon Jesus. I'll start by a man at the end of his life. Don't wait to the end of your life. None of us know when our lives are going to end. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're told in the Bible, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. None of us know about tomorrow. But when Jesus was on the cross, he was put in the middle of three people. Two of them were wicked people. He was the righteous one, and he was in the middle. It's amazing that, you know. Why did Pilate arrange it that way, that Jesus was in the middle? But there was a man on one side, a man on the other, and all three of them had been crucified, and Jesus was there. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and a great loving kindness to all who called upon him. Initially, it looks as if these two men were cursing and swearing and making mocking of Jesus, just as they would anybody else. It must have been a dreadful thing, you know, to be on the cross. A cross is an excruciating death to die. And there they were, the three of them. Jesus was in the middle. Jesus had said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there was these men. And they started talking to one another. They have to talk over Jesus. Jesus was in the middle. One was there. One was there. And one said to the other that they were suffering justly. But this man, Jesus, had done nothing wrong. He was convicted. He was a sinner. And he was convicted that Jesus had done nothing wrong. That was marking. Remember, he was only probably a few hours to live. He may only have had minutes to live. And he was on the cross at Calvary. And Jesus was there in the middle, and he points to Jesus. He didn't point to Jesus, because he couldn't point to Jesus. But he referred to Jesus. This man has done nothing wrong, nothing amiss. He says to his mate across Jesus, we're just, we're being crucified justly. We deserve what we get. Sometimes people feel that. A lot of people don't. I meet criminals every week. It's very rare for people to feel that they deserve what they get. Usually blaming somebody else. But this man was taking the blame to himself that he had done wrong. But Jesus was perfect. He'd done nothing wrong. And then he turns to Jesus. He says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. How did he know Jesus would have a kingdom? I don't know how he knew that. But he got light from God into his heart that Jesus one day was going to reign. And you know that's true. Jesus is going to reign. He's going to reign through a whole world. The world will be completely changed, you know, when Jesus comes to reign. But none of the lawless things that are allowed in this world, none of the lawless acts that people get away with in this world, when Jesus comes to reign, he says, remember me, Lord. You come in your kingdom. He realized Jesus would have a kingdom. Jesus was being crucified. How did he know that? That a man that was about to die would have a kingdom. He had light from God in his soul. I'll tell you this, Christ is going to reign. Jesus shall rule where'er the sun will run. Wherever the sun shines, Jesus will rule one day, publicly. Everything be brought under his feet. There's every single thing in this world that are going to come under the feet of Jesus. And here was this man on the cross. And he said to Jesus, remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom. Just remember this. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to all who call upon you. That man called upon Jesus. What did he get? Did Jesus say, you've had it? You've lived a dreadful life? There's nothing for you but hell and judgment. Is that what he said to him? No, he didn't say that to him. He said, today, verily I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's the God I'm presenting. A God that's presenting paradise. The possibility of living forever in the love and favor of God because of the work of Christ on the cross. Tremendous. And that man got the gain of it. He died a forgiven sinner. Thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, and of great loving kindness to the thief, dying thief, who called upon him. There's hope for anybody in this world. I don't care who the person is. There are some very dreadful people in this world who've committed the most awful crimes. If they genuinely turn to God in repentance, they can get their sins forgiven and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. I'll tell you about somebody else. Jesus was walking along the road going to the cross. He'd come to Jericho, and there was a man in Jericho, and his name was Bartimaeus. His name's mentioned. Jesus knows everybody's name. He knows your name, and your name, and your name, and my name. He knows us all. And he met this man, and he was passing along, and the man heard that Jesus was passing by. He heard he was passing by, and he called out. He called out. Remember this. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness unto all that call upon thee. So here was a man, he's a beggar, he's blind. When I was in Africa in March, I went to a home for people that are disabled. Now over in this country, over the years, there's been a lot of things done for disabled people to help them and look after them. Nowadays you get ramps and everything being provided to help people disabled. It's a stigma in society in the country I was visiting for someone to be born with any kind of disability. And people try and shut them out and get rid of them if they can. And this was a place that was opened for folk that were disabled. So he was a man when Jesus was here. And I expect he was despised by others. He was sitting begging. There'd be no social security then, no benefits they could have got in those days. He was sitting and he was begging at the side of the road, and Jesus was passing by. Now just remember this. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to all who call upon thee. So this beggar, he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He must have heard about him. Must have heard about him from others. And he knew he was the son of David. You know what marked David? One of the things that David did long ago, long before Jesus was born, he had compassion upon a man that was disabled, Mephibosheth, who was lame on both his feet. And, you know, David was anxious to show the kindness of God to him. And he sent out a message to get him and get him to come to his table so that he might enjoy the benefits of the king's palace. You know, that's just like God is sending out an invitation from heaven to us today, to humanity today, to get people to come to Jesus. Well, this man was there, sitting by the wayside, and he was begging. And Jesus was passing along. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to those that call upon him. So the man called out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, people tried to stop him. Shut up. Shut up. I could well understand that. There was a scum of society so far as this world was concerned. But Jesus was interested in him. And he stood still. He stood still for that beggar. He stood still for that man that was sitting at the bottom at the roadside. He stood still for him. He was interested in him. He wanted to show the kindness of God to him. He stood still for him. And he called, he asked him what he wanted. Got him to come to him. And the man, he had some garments, some old clothes, he got rid of them and started up, and he came into the presence of Jesus. You ever been in the presence of Jesus? Yourself. Presence of Jesus. You say, he's not here now. I know he's not here. He's gone to heaven. He's at the right hand of God. But in one sense, he's near. The Lord is near. He's near. You can come to him at any time. I can think of times I've come to Jesus. I know something of his presence. The Lord is near. He's not distant. He's near. He's available to people today in any part of the world. Just as he was available to that beggar whom Jesus walked past or was going to pass. Jesus stood still. He stood still for the beggar. Think of Jesus in this important mission. The most important mission that's ever been done. The important mission of Jesus going to the cross to atone for sins, to deal with the whole issue of sin that was hanging over the human race. As one could say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the one who was about to take away the sin of the world was walking by. And this fellow down in the gutter was shouting out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he wouldn't be stopped. He wanted the blessing. Do you want the blessing? Have you had the blessing that comes from the hands of Jesus? The blessing of forgiveness of sins. The blessing of peace with God. The blessing of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can have that by simply calling out in faith to Jesus and asking Jesus to forgive your sins and put your faith yourself in a risen Christ. Well, the man called out, and Jesus heard him, and Jesus gave him what he wanted. He asked him what he wanted. He was blind. He asked to see. And Jesus enabled him to see. And what did he do then? He followed Jesus in the way. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? I ask myself, am I a disciple of Jesus? Am I following Jesus in the way, in the Christian way? There is such a thing as the Christian way. It's not the street that you walk down like a street or a crescent or an avenue, but you can follow Jesus in the way. You can do it today. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, you'll follow him in the way. You know, the gospel doesn't separate between getting your sins forgiven and of coming under the Lordship of Christ. If you genuinely trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll want to do what he says. You'll want to do his will, to get to know his will. I'm not saying you'll get to know it all at once, but God wants through the gospel to show his loving kindness towards you through you listening to the message about Jesus and accepting him as your Savior, and then becoming one of his disciples and following him in the way. God's not asking you to follow any other man, any human leader. He's asking you to follow Jesus. And that man, that's what he did. He followed Jesus in the way. The Lord was good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to that beggar in Jericho. There's a group of people that met Jesus. 10 of them, 10 lepers, they all met Jesus. And they cried out for Jesus to have compassion on them. And Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion on them all. And he told them to go, show themselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cured. The whole lot of them, the whole 10 of them. Jesus had compassion on the whole 10. You say, what happened to them then? I don't know what happened to the 9. But I know one man came back and he gave Jesus thanks. He came back and he fell at the feet of Jesus giving him thanks. And it says that man was a Samaritan. I suppose he didn't have any priest to go to, being a Samaritan. The Jews would have had a priest to go to. Well, he didn't have any priests, but he came back to Jesus and he gave him thanks. Have you ever come back and given Jesus thanks? I say that to you. I say that to myself. Do I go and give Jesus thanks for all he's done for me? He's been good. He's been ready to forgive me, and thank God he has forgiven me. He's of great loving kindness to me and anyone else who calls upon him. He was of great loving kindness to the whole ten. And Jesus felt it, you know, that only one came back. He says, "Were not the ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Where are the nine? What did they do? I don't know what they did. But I know one person came back and he gave God thanks. And he fell at the feet of Jesus." Do you do that? Are you a forgiven sinner? Do you go and give God thanks? That's what he did. He's good, ready to forgive. Great loving kindness to those that call upon him. I'll tell you about one more person and then I'll finish. His name was Jonah. Jonah. And Jonah was disobedient to the Lord. You ever been disobedient? I've been disobedient. Paul says when he got converted, he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was kicking against the goads beforehand. The pricks in his conscience about the evil acts that he was doing to the people of God. But once he got converted, he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he got on and did what God wanted him to do. But Jonah was disobedient. God told him to do one thing, and he went in the opposite direction and did what he wanted. That's natural to us. Because we're fallen creatures. We've naturally got a rebellious, lawless heart. It says in the Bible, you know, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. It's incurable. Incurable. That which is of the flesh is flesh. You're born with the flesh. I'm born with the flesh. And it will never get any better. But if God works in your heart, there's something new in there. Something new there that God's going to build on. And God can help you by the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body and live. And live for his pleasure now and forever. Well, Jonah, he was disobedient to God. And he ran away. And he went on a ship. And he went on a journey the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. Well, God was good to him. He sent along a storm. You see, well, that's not good, is it? Storms cause a lot of damage. This past week or so, we've had a storm. Hasn't caused too much damage, but often storms cause enormous amount of damage. Well, there was this storm at sea. And those in the ship thought they were all going to drown. And they wondered what was wrong. And eventually they decided that the problem lay with this man that was sleeping down at the bottom called Jonah. And Jonah told them the truth, that he was running away from God. God made the storm. And then they threw Jonah overboard. And God prepared a fish. And the fish swallowed up Jonah. That was God's goodness, you know. The Lord is good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to all who call upon him. Well, here was Jonah. You know, people nowadays, they like to go in dolphins and ride dolphins. But Jonah wasn't riding a fish. He was inside the fish. And wherever the fish went, Jonah went. He had to go where this fish took him. No joke to be inside a fish. But wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, God's of great loving kindness to those that call upon him. And Jonah called to God out of the fish's belly. He called upon God. Let me say to you, whatever your circumstances in life are, whatever might happen to you, call upon the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jonah called on the name of the Lord out of the fish's belly. And God heard him. He heard him. Doesn't matter where you are. Here was a man, he repented. He realized he'd done wrong. He goes over it in the speech that he makes. But he also says, salvation's of the Lord. And salvation is of the Lord. The Lord is good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to those that call upon him. He was vomited out onto the island. Well, you see, it's not a very nice thing to happen to you. But he got saved. Salvation was of the Lord. And after he got himself all cleaned up, he went off to do what God told him to do. Don't disobey God. The gospel comes for the obedience of faith. And the happy Christian life is doing the will of God, not rebelling against it, but proving that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect in our lives. But I commend this verse to you. The Lord is good and ready to forgive and of great loving kindness to those that call upon him. Make sure then that you listen to the message, you turn to Christ as Savior, you seek to follow Jesus in the way, and you seek to come back and give him the praise and the homage that is due to him who's done everything for us. May God bless us all for his name's sake.